we're starting our series, or actually our third week of our series today on communication. So each week we're looking at an aspect of communication here, human to human, person to person, and trying to learn a lesson that can help us with that, and then applying that to our relationship with God. And so just doing some sound difficulties too here. But this week we're going to be looking at a particular communication theory. Now, when it comes to communications, it's not like chemistry. When, you know, smart people get together and write books, they can't really just do an experiment and explain how relationships work. Sometimes there's some weird stuff that happens, you know. So so they come up with all these different theories, and none of them are perfect. None of them show us everything about how to make friends or how to have a good marriage or something like that. And, you know, sometimes there's imperfections, yeah. And today, though,
Got me on a short leash today.
There we go, okay. That might be a good thing for all of us, so. today we're going to be talking about a theory called the onion theory, though. And you might think, what do onions have to do with communication? Onions just smell bad, and they taste delicious, in my opinion, at least. Not everybody agrees with me on that. But so onions, we've all seen onions before. And so here's an onion. And they talk about, though, the relationships are like an onion, or people are like an onion, in that everybody sees the outside of us. You know, everybody might know that Josh is a Cardinals fan, or that I'm a Royals fan, or they might know what kind of car we drive, or where we work, or, you know, random stuff about us. And if you strike up a conversation with somebody that you just met for the first time, you talk about the weather, you talk about this random kind of exterior stuff. So that's the outside layer of the onion. But then the theory talks about how everybody has got layers that you can peel back. And then when you get a little closer to somebody, you get past that first layer, and they start talking to you about stuff that's a little bit deeper, about why they like their job, or the job they had before that, or what they really wanted to do in life that they didn't get to do, or about why they like this or that player on the Royals. I mean, still pretty superficial stuff. But then you get a little deeper, you find out whether they go to church or not. You find out what are the stuff that they believe in, maybe how they voted, you know, for the last presidential election or something like that. And then you get a little deeper, you start to hear some stuff about their family and which family members they get along with and which family members they wish were different and stuff like that. And you get deeper and deeper into the onion, and there may be, you know, tears along the way as you're going here.
Get a little juicy.
Gets a little juicy. Gets a little messy for sure. And you wind up, you know, leaves its mark on you if you get close to people, I guess. But eventually you get down to, I'm getting to it right now, it takes a little time. You get down to this core, and this is an older onion I'm using here, so it's starting to grow a little bit. But you get down to this core of the onion. And for some people, there's one person that they've really shared the heart that they've got. Maybe stuff that they're scared to share with other people, something they're embarrassed about, or something that really drives them. Sometimes people don't even know what's in the core of themselves. Sometimes there's a fear or a hurt that's driving them that they won't even look at. Sometimes people open up to one other person about it, maybe two other people. But this is where you don't talk to a lot of people about what's at the base, what's real deep. And so you go layer by layer with your friends, and I've got such dirty hands here. Hang on just a second. The poor Heather, the first service, Heather uses this mic for worship, and she actually went and got me little wipes to use, so poor Heather, you know. Anyway, so now my hands are spick and span. Try to grab this again. So all those different layers, though, what this theory talks about is, if you want to figure out who are my close relationships, how close am I to Bryce, or how close am I to Jackie, or how close am I to Justin? Well, we're probably all at different levels. One way you could figure it out, if you're trying to sit down and figure out how close you are to someone, is how many layers have I shared with them? Are we still just on talking about the Royals? Or have we gotten a little closer? Do we talk about our family too, or do we talk about what's really going on inside of us? So how much have I shared with them, and then how much have they shared with me? So this back and forth there. And it's a way to kind of judge where a relationship's at. But it's also a way to make relationships go deeper. So if you have somebody that you work with, or somebody, maybe your spouse even, that you want to have a deeper relationship with, this theory would say, well, you need to get into a deeper layer. And a comic that kind of points this out, these two books, one of them's Open, and it says, I wish you would open up to me. This idea that one's a closed book and one's an open book. But we've probably all had relationships like this, where one person was trying to open up, trying to share what was going on, what was real, and the other person was all closed up, didn't want to talk about it. And some of us in the room, we might always be the closed book, or some of us in the room might always be the one that's open trying to push it. Well, there's two elements that the theory tells us that it takes to get to that deeper level and to stay there. It takes self-disclosure, which is just a big word for openness, for sharing, and then it takes trust. And so if you're in a relationship and you want to go deeper, those are the two things you need. You guys need to be open to a deeper level, and then you need to trust each other. So I'm going to talk to us about openness, then Josh is going to talk a little bit about trust. So openness, I would actually say, takes a leap of trust or a leap of faith. We've all had those moments in relationships where maybe we've got a coworker and we've talked to them about work a whole bunch, but then there comes that day when we want to talk to them about a fight we just had at home, or we want to talk to them about something else that's going on that's real inside of our life. And it's kind of that scary moment where you bring up a new topic for the first time. I mean, it reminds me of like the first time you hold a girl's hand or something. You know, there's that like nervousness of like, what's going to happen? This is going to change things. It's going to get really awkward, or we're going to hit a new level. And conversations are the same way with people. You either hit a new level or things get pretty strange. But if you're wanting a relationship to go deeper, sometimes you have to be the one to open up first. You have to be the one to say, hey, I want to talk about what I really believe. And don't go from, we've only talked about the Royals and Escobar, to now I'm going to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets about my stepdad or something. I mean, don't just like jump from one extreme to the other. I mean, just go one level at a time, you know, go one layer at a time. But that, if you want a close relationship, you can just try it this week. Just see what happens. Tell somebody, take them one level deeper. And I bet if you do that with a few people this week, you'll wind up with a closer friend by the end of the week. Your friendship will grow. It's like miracle grow for a friendship, this opening up. But it's not the only secret to a friendship, because if you just start opening up to people, you might run into a problem. Josh is going to talk to us about that. So if you have self-disclosure, but you don't have trust, you take a step back, okay? So what happens when trust gets broken, Josh? Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, I am going to talk about that, but I'm going to back up for a second, because first, I'm going to continue to talk about what Jake was talking about. And we have set in place at Maywood on Wednesday night these groups. And exactly what Jake was saying, you don't go from talking about the Royals to telling you about which family member I want to kill next. It doesn't happen that way. You are around each other more often. And we've created these Wednesday night groups, and we've created friendships. And as time has passed, we're around each other so much that we've created this bond. And we've just, as we've lived life, we've just bonded together, and we've created these really, really awesome friendships in the church with the guys and the girls, and it's just super duper cool. I mean, so if you ain't a part of the Wednesday night group, man, you're really missing out on creating a friendship with a group, 4, 5, 6 other guys. And I mean, my theory is, dude, life is hard enough. Why do it by yourself? Like, it's already hard. It's already hard. So why not get with a group of guys and let's do life together, man? Okay, let's switch gears and let's talk about trust. You know, trust is super duper important. And there's a way that you can also, that you can break this trust. You want to move the slide to the wrecking ball? There we go. Microphone thing again. Yeah. Oh, well. And I had a friend, and we're still friends and everything, and we were tight, and we told each other all kinds of stuff, and as we walked together in our lives, and some stuff was said, and there's a way that you can change the relationship that you have with somebody. You can destroy a relationship with your words. And that's what we're not trying to do here. Just because I forgive you doesn't mean that the relationship isn't changed. And so that's one thing that we try to get away from is I feel like I've talked a lot about gossip up here from the pulpit in the last 3 or 4 months. And gossip is something that's set in place to destroy and to divide. And so in our small group, we've came up with this little rule that unless you're telling somebody how awesome somebody is, we don't talk about them unless they're present, unless they're sitting right there. That's a good rule to set in place with, especially with people in the church and your friends in the church. Just unless I'm saying, man, Jake Taylor, that dude is so awesome. You see all the good stuff he's done? It's best just not even say their name. Okay? I want you to remember that your relationship, you can change a relationship with your words. It doesn't mean that person didn't forgive you. You may even forget about it, but it's still changed. Okay?
Good stuff. We got a verse from Proverbs that comes right at what Josh is talking about. Second half of this verse says, gossip separates close friends. So it's Proverbs 16:28. This idea that you can be really close with somebody, and just like that wrecking ball, one gossipy afternoon can change that whole relationship. Just like, yeah, we're good. So just like a wrecking ball can wreck a house that took a year or more to build in one day, gossip can tear down something that's really close. And what Josh is getting at there is really true, that you can forgive somebody. If somebody has broken your trust, as a Christian, we're supposed to forgive them whether they've asked for forgiveness or not. We're supposed to let go of bitterness, let go of hate for them. We're supposed to hope that good things happen to them. We're not supposed to try to get revenge. But there's a difference that still happens. If you trusted somebody and they broke that trust has to be grown back. Okay, forgiving them doesn't mean instantly just trusting them again. You know, we've taken youth trips, and we have chaperones for the youth trips, and we have different people will drive the kids. If I ever ran into somebody that was about to drive our students who was drunk, I would never let them drive our students ever again. And I would forgive that person. I would say, like, hey, I'm not going to hold that against you, but I'm not going to trust the lives of our students like with somebody like that. And that's, in our relationships, that trust has to be earned over time. So there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. And you build trust not just in the way you talk about your friend, you build trust in the way you talk to your friend about other people. I know right away there's another verse in Proverbs that talks about being careful to be friends with somebody that talks too much. This idea that if I'm around somebody and they tell me everyone else's business all the time, then I know I don't want to share my business with that person. The way we talk to other people shows what's going on in our hearts and shows whether we're trustworthy or not. So if you want to go deeper in your relationships with others, you got to be trustworthy. And you do have to open up. You do have to say, like, I'm going to share a deeper layer with this person if I want to go deeper with them.
And there's a verse that I've brought up before from up here, and it says that this is how the world will know that you're a disciple of Jesus, is the way that you love one another. Yeah. What if every single time somebody that didn't come to Maywood was around some people from Maywood, and they're like, man, Robbie Davis, that dude's so awesome, man. Like, that dude loves people so much. And that Jake guy, man, he's such a good preacher. That dude does so much good stuff behind the scenes. And they would think, like, man, those people from Maywood, like, they have each other's backs for real. Like, they're always just talking good about each other. Man, they love each other. That is so weird in this world that we live in. To love people like that and talk so, that would set a fire ablaze in this community. And people would be, they would want to be a part of that. I promise you, because I would. And I do, and that's why I'm here. Yeah.
That's good stuff. And so we've talked about communication and about how do we use this onion theory to get closer in our relationships with other people. We're going to talk about how do we take that same idea of openness and trust, how do we take that to our relationship with God. But before we get there, Josh and I were talking this week, and Shane and Danny had shared some stuff with Josh and about talking with God is like going to the doctor, is what they said. So if we can get there. So tell me a little bit about the wisdom they laid on you.
Well, when I first started coming to this church, I was talking to Shane Campy and Whispering Danny, and they opened my eyes to something that was really important in my early walk with Jesus, that like I'd always believed in God, but my relationship with God, it consisted of this. I would show up and I'd go, God, I need this. I need this. Can you fix this? And then I need this too. And my friend needs this. And I would go, see you later, God. I'll talk to you tomorrow or next week when I need something again. And I wondered why, nothing happened. I mean, there was, my relationship with God wasn't like this strong, vibrant thing because I didn't understand the very basics of what it means to pray. And so Shane and Danny told me, well, Josh, that would be like if you went to the doctor and you're like, Doc, my knee hurts really bad. My elbow, it's off the chain. Got this serious headache. And by the way, I can't see very good. My eyesight's bad. All right, Doc, I'll see you later. I got to go, though. Got in my car and left. Did that make any sense? No. I didn't hear anything from the doctor. The doctor is the one that is going to tell me what I need to do. And so as my guys come in, as the new guys come in, I try to explain to them, it's so important that when you go to God in prayer, it's okay to make some requests to God, but you need to be quiet and listen to what he's going to tell you. Are you guys with me on this? And so many times we forget to listen to God. It's not what you're going to tell God that's going to matter, that's going to change your life. That doesn't matter. It's what he is going to tell you that's going to change your life. He's going to instruct you on the next steps in your life. So we need to approach that like you would approach a doctor. When you go in, you need to listen to what he has to say to you and then do it.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Josh. And this idea of approaching God with respect, approaching God like he has the answers. So we're going to take this principle of the onion theory, which had two pieces, share, be open, and be trustworthy. So we're going to take that. How does that help our relationship with God? Well, the first idea, sharing the layers. Think about your relationship with God for a minute. Think about that onion that I held up. And I said some people only see the outer layer, and they get deeper. You get deeper and you get deeper. Think about your relationship with God. Does he just see the outer layer of you? Now, we all know God knows everything. God created you. God understands you. But think about what you share with God. Is it just the outer layer stuff? Is it just the acquaintance stuff? Think about this last week, if you've prayed and talked with God, what emotions did you share? Was it all one emotion when you talked with God? Was there ever a time that you were sad this week or cried this week while you were talking with God? Was there ever a time when you were angry while you were talking with God? Was there ever a time where you laughed or had a smile on your face while you were talking with God? If you had a relationship where it was only one emotion all the time, that would probably just be an acquaintance. I have a lot of acquaintances that I can think of that, well, maybe I've never laughed around them, or maybe I've never cried in front of them for sure. But my deeper relationships have seen me angry, have seen me cry, have seen me smile. So as you're kind of grading yourself or thinking, what layer am I at with God? Well, what layer are you at? What layer do you open up to him about? And it's not just about the emotions. It's also about what areas of your life do you open up? Do you just talk to him about one part of yourself, but then you keep these other parts hidden? That's what we do with acquaintances. That's what we do with friends from work that aren't very close to us. It's not what we do with our closest friends. If you share the core with somebody, then they know about your family. They know about your struggles. They know about your fears. Have you opened those things up to God? So that's our side of the relationship with God, opening up our onion to God. So if I can maybe blow your guys' mind a little bit too, let's think about God's onion. That sounds weird, but let's think about God's layers, okay? God's more complicated than us. I don't think we could ever maybe understand every layer of God. But in your interactions with God, have you interacted with God and felt any emotions from God? When you read through the Bible, God is angry at times. God is sorrowful at times. God is happy and joyful and proud of his children at times. But when you're ever sharing and praying with God, have you ever felt like on an afternoon as you're walking through the woods talking to God, have you ever felt like God is happy about how beautiful this forest is or something? Or have you ever had something really sad happen and you went to God and you felt super sad and you could feel that God was also sad about what a disaster that was? God isn't less than us. He's more than us. He has more of a personality than us. But a lot of times we just keep it on the surface with God. We don't really show our emotions. We don't really open up and let God share his emotions. We don't really give space for that. And so we just have this outer layer relationship with him. If you want to go deeper with God, open up your layers. God is always ready to go deeper with us. If you'll open up your heart to God, God will open up his heart to yours. That's the first piece of it. The second piece we talked about was trust. I'm not super worried about you guys gossiping about God, but there's other ways that we break trust with God, and that does push us back out of the layers with God. So, Josh, you're going to talk through us about being trustworthy with God. We've got this verse. Do we want to just jump straight to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is in Corinthians. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. We can stop right there and talk about this first half of this verse. And when it's talking about being entrusted with mysteries that God has revealed, and when we first went to set off to start these Wednesday night small groups, Brian and English and I, we got together. I don't think Brian's here. He was at the first service, but I was going to set him out. But we got together, and we came up with a piece of paper that we called our values and beliefs. And we set some rules up that were good for us, that we felt like if we obeyed these rules, that it would help us in our walk with Jesus. It would help us stay sober and walk with Jesus in a way that would give us victory in our lives. And so we did that. And as people came, new people came to the group, we introduced them to these rules and what we called our discipleship values and beliefs, and it worked. And it worked for that person, and it worked for the next person, and it worked for the next person. It just kept on working, and it keeps on working. And so that's what this is when God... And I was talking to Brian, and I said, Brian, we're just not that smart that we got together, and it was just me and you, and like our brains merged as one, and we came up with this fabulous thing, and it was set everybody free, and that's not what happened. We got together, and God came alongside us, and the Holy Spirit opened up our minds to put something on paper that would help people get free from addiction and to walk with Jesus in a way that's systematic. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay, let's go to the next half of this verse. Do you have anything on that first half?
You good?
Okay. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. It's required that when God speaks something to you or when God tells you something, that you're required that you must prove faithful to do that. So it'd be on us if we didn't. I mean, I've had people go, Josh, that's really strict. I can't date no girls, and I can't look at no pornography, and I can't do. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, man, but that's not gonna work if you want to walk with Jesus. That's gonna take you off over here somewhere, and it's gonna leave you back in a wreck. And you shouldn't be getting high if you're trying to be sober. You know what I'm saying? So, and yeah, it's funny.
It's good advice. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's where we're going with this thing. And you must be faithful.
Yeah, no, this is what happens. We want to, a lot of us will hit a moment where we want to go real deep with God. We have some crisis, some family member or some problem, and suddenly we're on our knees and we're saying, God, I need you to miraculously change this situation, or I need you to tell me exactly what to do, and I'll do it, God. You just part the heavens and put a neon sign in the sky, and I'll do it. And we think in that moment, why won't God make a giant neon sign in the sky for me? You know, God's not holding back from us. God's waiting, hoping, expectantly that we'll start to use what he's given us. If God's given us a couple layers of himself and they've sat on our shelf and then we want to jump right to the core, God's saying, you're not ready for the core. If I gave you a neon sign in the sky, you'd go do some terrible crusade and never listen to me again. You got to build a relationship with me before you're ready to talk face to face with me. And so if you've got a Bible, if you can read and you've got a Bible and it's sat on your shelf for 3 months and then you want to hear from God, well, I don't know. Like, do you really want to hear from God? Like, you can read what he's already given you. If God's given you some advice, like what Josh and Brian were talking about here's some steps to get sober, and then you get on your knees one night in the middle of your addiction, you say, God, I want to be free, but you won't do the steps that are right in front of you. God's not going to take you deeper till you're trustworthy with what he's given you. God's always gracious. No matter what mistakes you made yesterday, God will start fresh today. I'm not saying you have to beat yourself up for the past. But God's not going to continue to give you more and more of himself until you start using the great things he's already given you.
I'm jumping in right here.
Yeah.
Well, he's exactly right. And Pastor Bob would say that we are well educated well beyond our obedience. Well beyond our obedience. There was 7 or 8 years ago when I said my life's a wreck. Jesus, you got to fix me. He said, go to church. Well, today, most of you, hey, yeah, go to church. Most of you know, for the past month and a half of what has transpired in my life, that 7 or 8 years ago when God told me to go to Maywood, it was for me. Because without this church, in the past month and a half, I wouldn't even be here right now.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't want to make it really, it's really simple. For some of us right here, right now, God has just said, on Sunday, go to church. Stop right there. You don't need to know how many fish were in the basket or how many bricks were in the temple. You need to go to church on Sunday mornings, and that's all I want you to do right now.
Amen.
And it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's to save your life.
Yeah. A lot of times when we hear rules or we hear that God wants to push us to do something, we think, well, God is being such a jerk, or God is too stingy, or this Bible study leader that told me what God said is too much of a jerk or too much of a judgmental guy. These rules aren't about making you feel bad. They're not about making somebody else feel great. They're about setting you free. And the rules are only as good as they set you free towards Jesus. If a rule doesn't actually set you free towards Jesus, then you need to figure that out. All of it's supposed to be guiding us towards relationship with God. But if you're letting your laziness or your fear hold you back from something God's given you, God's going to keep working at that thing. Just like Amy was talking about last week, she felt like she needed to get baptized. If you've been a Christian for several years and you're an adult, it's kind of a hard thing to say, oh, I'm going to humble myself and go say I need to get baptized. That's typically a first step of obedience for somebody. But Amy realized, like, God's not going to go further with me until I do what God said to do. So Amy was faithful in that. And so she's here today where God wants her to be. I mean, none of us are perfect. But she said yes to that, so God's going to open up another layer. She's been trustworthy, so now she's ready for the next layer. What Josh is saying, God wants to save you. We had a person in this first service say, come down and say the sinner's prayer. Say, Jesus, I've messed up. was praying with Josh. And Jesus, I want to start fresh with you. That's how we start. That's how we break through that first layer with God. God wants to save everyone in this room. Then, like this picture here, God wants to give you a light so you can go and be a light in the darkness. Because it's not just about, imagine Josh going through cancer without God right now. How terrible that would be, like he was just talking to us about. And how it's so good that Josh said yes to God 8 years ago so he can stand with God right now.
God didn't tell me 8 years from now they're going to carry you through. He just said, go to church. He didn't say, you're going to have to, they are going to carry you through your life 8 years from now. He didn't tell me the details. He just said, go.
Yeah. Here's the big kicker for us today. God saved Josh. But that wasn't the end of God's story. God wanted to save and work in people's lives through Josh. How many of us in this room can say, God's worked in me through Josh? Yeah, a lot of us. And it's not that we're lifting Josh up. It's that we're lifting God up. This is what God does. God takes the meanest, hardest people in the world, the people that destroy life, he takes them and makes them like Jesus, somebody that comes into an area that's messed up and makes it better. God wants to put his mysteries, his glory in you to save you, but then to make you one of his saviors, okay? It's that we're all pointing people to Jesus. It's that we all get to be paramedics, bringing people to the great physician, okay? And that's what it's about here at Maywood. That's what Christianity is about. It's about saying yes to God so that God can save us and so that we can work with God to save others.